Good morning. Aren't you glad that the trees are beginning to bloom out and the flowers are everywhere popping out across the countryside? And I don't think it'll be long. I think probably in the next several days, the dogwoods will come out. I mean, it seems like it's taken forever for this spring to get going. And I'm thankful personally that we are beginning to see the end, and I say that with tongue in cheek, the end of winter and the beginning of spring. In just a couple of weeks, we'll have Easter Sunday, and it's usually full bloom by then. And so I'm just glad being able to drive through the countryside to be here with you this morning. I bring you greetings from the Foresight Christian Church, where my wife and I worship now. And we've been there since 2012. It doesn't seem like it's been that long since we came from Mountain Grove to Foresight. I preached at Mountain Grove for over 30 years and had a wonderful ministry there. And two people are here that mean so very much to me in my ministry. Gladys and Raymond McGowan are here from Mountain Grove this morning, and we welcome them to the services today. And I just, this little note, when we left Phillipsburg, Missouri, which is near Lebanon, Missouri, had an 8-year ministry there, and we were called to Mountain Grove to preach, Gladys and Raymond came to hear me preach at Phillipsburg. And so they are responsible for having made it possible for us to be able to go to Mountain Grove and begin our ministry there. And so they're very special people to me. And I thank you for coming and spending time here together with us. And I bring you greetings from there as well. You know, it's good to be in the Lord's kingdom work. Amen. And I just want to say this. I got the call from John on the telephone to come and to preach for you. He actually asked me to preach to the end of March, and I couldn't come because I was preaching at Foresight. We just have hired a new minister, and today is his first day at the Foresight Christian Church. So that's the reason why I'm able to be here today. I've been supply preaching for them at Foresight, and that's kind of my calling right now, is to fill in where they need me. I preached at Houston, Missouri over there for several months over there, and I preached at Republic, Missouri. And after, John, after I got the call from you to come and preach here, and I didn't know exactly how many Sundays I could come because my mother is in poor health in Texas, and maybe I may even be called down there during this period of time, and he knows that. But after I received the call from you and told you I would come here on the first Sunday in April, I got a call from Republic. And their preacher had resigned there. And so you need to pray for the Republic Christian Church as they're looking for a minister. And we pray for you as you are looking for a minister. And God will answer your prayers. And He will provide someone for you. I decided to share a message with you that I preached at Foresight not too many Sundays ago. It's a new message, so Gladys and Raymond, you haven't heard it. You know, you think of it, listening for 30 years, they wouldn't remember what I preached 30 years ago anyway. But anyway, this is a brand new message, and God laid it upon my heart to preach it Foresight, and so I wanted to share it with you. It's called God's great love for us. And you see the text, and you can leave that up there if you want to, John, through the whole sermon, that picture on the screen. That will be just great. But that's the text we're going to quote here in just a moment. But let me share with you this story. A wife asked her husband, "How would you describe me?" And he replied, "A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K." The wife was naturally confused, and she asked, "What does that mean?" And her husband replied, "Adorable, beautiful, cute, delightful, elegant, fashionable, gorgeous, honey bear." The wife says, "Oh, thank you. But what about IJK? The husband smiled and said, "I'm just kidding." Now, I'm not kidding when I say God loves you. And He loves us with a very special love. And the text of Scripture that just stands out in all the Bible is John 3:16. Let's say it together. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world." And in the Scriptures it says, "Now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? And every blade of grass a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God to man would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we cannot begin to thank You enough for Your love for us, God. Oh, we are so thankful You love us. And You do love the people here in the Mansfield Church, in the Mountain Grove Church, in the Forsyth Church, and the churches all across this land. We thank You for Your love, and we are so glad to proclaim it. I pray, Lord, that this message will touch the hearts of those who are here, that this message will encourage them and challenge them. And Lord, we'll give You all the credit and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How long do I have? Oh, I hear one soul saying, "As long as I want." Well, you know, I won't hold you very long, but I do have a message God's laid on my heart. And we want to consider just about three things about God's great love for us. God's great love for us is seen in that God's love for us is unfathomable. Unfathomable. And in the Scriptures, in Ephesians the 3rd chapter, verses 16 through 19, it is described for us as being unfathomable. Here's what the Bible says. It says, "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That term surpasses knowledge in that text of Scripture is the term literally meaning unfathomable. And here's the key to understanding God's love for you and for me. It is immeasurable. That's what it is. It surpasses knowledge. It's beyond our total comprehension. Back in Bible days, you see, when Paul wrote these words, a common means of measuring the depths of the ocean, they would use a length of rope, and it was marked off in fathoms. A fathom's a certain length, and it was marked off in fathoms. And it was dropped down into the water until it touched the bottom, and then they would record in their journal, is so many fathoms deep. If, though, they dropped it and it did not touch bottom, they would pull it back up and they would add more rope to it and more fathoms to it until they finally reached the bottom. However, if they came to a spot where they dropped all the rope that they had down and it did not touch bottom, you know what they would write in their journal? They would write, unfathomable, which meant God's, which meant that the water was beyond measure. God's love is just that for us. It is beyond measure. It is beyond our imagination. It's literally more than that, if you can imagine that with me today. And grasping its width and its length and its height and its depth, man, when you think about all that, you have to say, His love for us is truly immeasurable. How wide is God's love? It's wide enough to reach all the corners of the earth with the gospel message. We will say more about that later in the message. But the forgiveness through the blood of Christ, our sins are removed, as the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? That's forever, my friend. That's forever. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone through the blood of the Lamb. How long is the love of God? His love is long enough to last us throughout eternity. He covers our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, past, present, and future. In 1 John, the first chapter, verse 7 through the second chapter, verse 2, it says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, purifies us from all sins. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ is the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the world. Jesus' blood covers our sins past, present, and future." And that's the long enough love of God that I need in my life. Martin Luther said, "When I look at myself, I do not know how I can be saved. When I look at Christ, I do not know how I can be lost." And that's good news. That's such good news. Well, how high is His love for us? It is high enough to lift us up to heaven. He has gone to prepare a place for us. in glory with God forever. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I go to prepare a place for you. I will come and take you to that place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I don't know about you, friends, but I know that God's love is unfathomable, and I'm going higher, higher, higher. How about you? How deep is His love? It's deep enough to reach us in the depths of our sins and lift us up. Christ can lift up the guttermost to the uttermost. He can cure the addict from his addiction. He can set the enslaved captive free from the bondage of sin. He can heal the brokenhearted. He can rescue the perishing. Once upon a time, a father wanted to teach his son the lesson on God's great love. He took him to the top of the hill and pointed northward over Scotland and southward over England and eastward over the vast ocean and westward over the hill and valley. And then sweeping his arms around over the circling horizon, he said, Johnny, my boy, God's love is as big as all that. Why, Daddy, the boy replied with sparkling eyes, then we must be right in the middle of it all. God's love, first of all, and this is great. God's love, first of all, is unfathomable. You can't even measure the depth, nor the height, nor the length, nor the width of His love. Second thing I would mention to you, see, I only got two more. God's love for us is unending. And the text is 2 Peter, the third chapter, verses 8 and 9. Here's what it says. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. And listen to this. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The good news this morning is God's evangelistic love never ends. God is forever reaching out to us with the message of salvation. His desire is for all to be saved and for all to escape the fires of hell and for all to go to heaven. God wants everyone to go to heaven. And if you go to hell, it is against His will for you. God is forever putting up roadblocks along the highway of life to prevent people from heading in the wrong direction. He is long-suffering towards us, just as in the days of Noah, the preacher of righteousness who pleaded with the lost to turn away from the wickedness and to come back to God. 120 years of invitation hymns. I wonder, are there tears in heaven? Have you ever thought about that? Are there tears in heaven? Tears are described as a language of love. We are told that there are no tears to dim the eye in heaven. We are also told that even the angels rejoice at the repentance of a sinner. But I have wondered if the Almighty has shed a few tears over the lost souls that have perished without Jesus. It is certainly true that in the days of Christ's stay on this earth, the record shows that He wept twice that we're told of in the Scriptures. Once was at the tomb of Lazarus. You remember that? In John the 11th chapter, verse 35, the shortest Scripture in all the Bible, He wept because of the loss of a dear friend and the people's lack of hope in the resurrection. Then also we have the record of Jesus looking upon the lost state of the city of Jerusalem in Luke the 19th chapter and verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he wept over it. Psalms 126 verse 5 says, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. When was the last time you had a good old-fashioned cry over a lost soul? We used to do that in revivals. I remember that. People would shed tears in a revival meeting over those who were coming to the revival who needed to give their life to Christ. Do you remember that? And when was the last time that you shed a few tears over the town of Mansfield and its state and its lost state of those who don't know Christ? Our kids gave us something very special for Christmas this year. We went to JCPenney's, all of us together, my son and his family, my daughter Kim and her family, and Dana and her family, and we all converged at JCPenney's. They were going to take a picture of Grandma and Grandpa with all the grandkids. And I just didn't know how they were going to do that. As you could imagine, all that activity. Well, they took a picture, and all the kids are smiling in it, every one of them. And they brought to us, shortly after Christmas, the portrait Suzanne and I sitting with all of our grandkids. And if you were to come visit us today and come into our living room and sit down, you'd look over the fireplace and you'd see that picture sitting on the mantle of the fireplace. And every day and every night without fail, I can look up to that picture and I can see my grandchildren. And I want you to know that every day that I see that picture, I say this prayer, oh Lord, I pray that my grandkids will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I nobly do my part to win that soul for Thee. You can be sure that the Heavenly Father aches for the lost and He never, ever stops reaching out. Such is the unending love of the Lord for us. And then lastly, God's love for us is unbeatable. It's unfathomable, it's unending, and it's unbeatable. And the text is Romans, the 8th chapter, and the whole chapter actually, and I'm not going to take the time to read the whole chapter, but beginning with verse 28 and following, here's what it says. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justifies. And those He justifies, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all who will not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither present or future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, our love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you say amen to that unbeatable love? And I'm here to tell you, God has not moved. A married couple of many years rode along in their automobile, and the wife sat at one end of the seat and the husband at the other end behind the steering wheel. And the wife asked, why can't we sit close together like we did shortly after our marriage? Her husband replied to her, I ain't moved. Is your sense of fellowship with God less than it once was? Well, you can be certain of one thing. God has not moved. There is an eye that never sleeps beneath the wing of night. There is an ear that never shuts when sink the beams of light. There is an arm that never tires when human strength gives way. There is a love that never fails when earthly loves decay. And that's the unbeatable love we have in the Lord. Now you think about Paul's words here. God works for our good in all things. If God is for us, who can be against us? He gives us all things in Jesus. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are interceding for us. Nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Praise God, His love for us is unbeatable. Well, I told you, Wendy. I said I don't have anything else, but I got one more thing. God's love is unspeakable, and it won't take long to go through this. In 2 Corinthians 9, chapter and verse 15, it says, in the words of the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. You see, human words cannot express His great love for us. A country preacher announced that he would be preaching next Sunday, and his subject was going to be the love of God. And so as the shadows fell and light ceased to come in through the sanctuary windows, the congregation gathered and they took their seats in the dimly lit church. In the darkness of the altar, the preacher entered from the back and he walked ever so slowly forward. And he took a candle and he lit the candle and carried it to the cross with Christ on it. And first of all, he illumined the crown of thorns on Jesus' head with the candlelight. The next, he illuminated the two wounded hands with the huge nails protruding from them. Then he illuminated the gaping wound of his side that had been pierced with a spear. And in the hush that fell over the group, that gathered, the preacher blew out the candle. And he turned around and he left the chapel. You see, there was nothing else to say. The Bible said he was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we had, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and was esteemed, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've returned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's invitation time. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go, his love for sinners to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Now, I don't know what your need is. God does. And maybe you need encouragement of some kind. Maybe you need our prayers. Maybe you need to make a decision. But right now, Our Lady's going to come and prepare for the invitation hymn. And we're going to stand together as we have a chance to invite you to respond. Let's stand up here as we get ready. Girls, you can lead us. have our closing prayer, we have time now for prayer requests. So if you have any prayer requests, raise your hand and tell us what they are. Any prayer requests today? Yes. Don and Eska.
Esther.
That's Pickle, right? Okay. Anybody else?
Please remember Vonda Budgard. She just had her bone marrow transplant.
Vonda Budgard. Buntgard.
Her counts are finally starting to come back up. A really good sign. So hopefully.
Okay. Vonda. Anybody else? Yes.
I feel our church needs to remember you and your
mother. Yes, I appreciate that. My mother's name is Pat Zedlitz. And we would appreciate your prayers for her. What they're doing is they're moving her from the present assisted living to another location. And it's been very difficult. My mother's been very incorrigible in the process of the whole thing. You know, when you get older and you start to lose your faculties, it's a real sad time for everybody, because my mother was never like that. She was always a great Christian woman, and now it's been very difficult, very hard for my sister and my brother. So keep her in your prayers, if you will, please. And don't forget all these churches that we are mindful of looking for preachers. Republic Christian Church is looking for a preacher. Mansfield Church is looking for a preacher. And we found our preacher at Foresight. Pray that he'll do a good job. So keep those churches in mind. And there are a lot of churches that are needing the encouragement of the Lord, because, it's just getting more and more difficult to find preachers. I know people think, well, there's lots of preachers out there. Well, there may be some, but not nearly enough to fill our pulpits. So pray for that. Pray for me as I travel back and forth and as we share with you the Word of God. Okay. Have you got somebody that's going to be saying our closing prayer? Well, let's all stand and we'll have our closing prayer. And thank you for coming today.
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that Jack has seen fit to come and lead us in this service this morning. We pray for his mother. We pray that you'll be with her and help settle her mind, and just that things will turn out to your glory. We ask for others that are sick or ill. We think of Doc and Esther. We ask that you would comfort them and send your healing power to them, that they may recover and get better. We pray for Vonda, and that she might recover also, that she might continue to recover, and that you'll continue to watch over her. We ask this morning that you be with us as we seek a minister, and Republic also, their leadership, that you would guide us in the decisions we make, that you would impress on us, that you would help us sort out what needs to be done. And we just ask now that you'd go with each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.